Next Chapter Podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 500 J.A.M. been walking us down through that 2012 edition, so it ain't nothing too new. Hundreds more to go and in need of a friend, the king of fleas for Angelo, talking the 500 until the end, talking the 500 until the end. With my man J.A.M. on the 500, talking the 500 until the end.
Oh my Lord. That is the best intro on the whole record. And then they just never go back to it. Bastards! The song is Louie Louie by Toots and the Maytals from their 1973 record, Funky Kingston. It's also number 380 out of 500 on the 500 with Josh Adam Myers. What's up, Police Army? How you guys doing? Oh my God, it's been such a week. We have been apart, and now we're together again, and I miss you. I love you. It's weird when I do a voice like that, because you guys only know me as like a garbage pail kid, just like, hey, guys, I miss you. I love you. Guys, Cadougals, tell me you have been watching the podcast, because we have two amazing ways for you to see me and my guest each week, and that is... One, on our Patreon. Every Wednesday, we publish full episodes to the 500 Club members paying $5 a month or more. And we really appreciate everybody that is supporting the show. So please go to patreon.com/the500podcast. Guess what? We have a new podcast starting where me and my funny friends are going to be talking about records that aren't on the list that they love. They're going to make me a fan of their record. First one we got booked, me and John Doerr talking about Tragically Hip. If you've seen me and TV's John Doerr discussing music online, you can see we've been battling over his love for Tragically Hip and trying to put it on me. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear this episode because it is so good. And the only way you can do it is on our Patreon, patreon.com/the500podcast. And if you're not a part of Patreon... Thank you for listening anyway. We love you guys. Don't trip. But we post all the videos on our YouTube every Thursday. So smash that subscribe button and join our YouTube. Help support the podcast any way you can. Tell your friends that you love them. Just join the Fleece Army. That's all I care about. I got some shows to tell y'all about. I sound like I'm from Philadelphia. I got some shows to tell you. What y'all doing? March 4th through the 7th, I'm going to be at the House of Comedy in Minnesota. And March 11th through the 13th, I am going to be in San Diego at the American Comedy Company. All tickets are on my website, joshadammyers.com/shows. If you are in Minnesota or San Diego, I want to see you at the shows. Plus, I'm going to be out on the road with Big J Okerson. I think we're doing Ohio at the end of the month. And you can find all his dates at bigjcomedy.com. Now, usually this would be the place that I do the intro for the album to catch you guys up on Toots and the Maytals. But we've been adding our writer, DJ Morty Coyle. Follow him at DJ Morty Coyle. He is our music expert to the show. He's taken some of the stress off of me because there were moments where, and I think you guys know this, is that I am not a musicologist. I know music. I know, you know, Guns N' Roses, Beatles. I know the shit that I like. And that's why I'm doing this podcast. I've never tried to, you know, fake that I know more about music than I don't. I've been researching with Morty and learning as much as I can. But I felt to make the show better, we have that eye in the sky that's watching over us to lead us in the right direction so we can make sure that we give each album the respect it deserves and it's not me just reading some piece of paper. And I couldn't be happier to have Morty and JT, my producer, chiming in on the podcast. And Toots and the Maytals is a brilliant record. Brilliant record. This is an album you should be listening to throughout the whole day, throughout whatever's going on in your life, because it's going to give you a little bit of pep in your step. And that is why I booked my good friend Ian Edwards to join me to talk about this record. You know Ian from his one-hour special on Comedy Central, Ian Talk, which just came out in 2019, and it's fucking brilliant. Ian is one of the funniest comics that I know, very near and dear friend to me, and I couldn't be happier to have him on this podcast. The intro, the beginning, is so much fun when DJ Morty Coyle is talking about the explanation. Please, I want all of you to tweet at Morty for what happens, okay? Perfect episode, guys. Rate, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the 500 and listen free on all platforms. If you're listening on Apple, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Follow me at Josh Adam Myers on all social media and go to my website, joshadammyers.com, for all my tour dates. Email the podcast at 500podcast@gmail.com. Tell us you like the show. Tell us you don't like the show. Tell us to go fuck ourselves. And follow the Facebook group, The 500 Podcast with Jam, run by Crazy Evan. And for all things 500, go to our website, the500podcast.com. Well, nothing left to say, but everybody say, here we go with 380 Funky Kingston by Toots and the Maytals. Funky, funky.
All right, let's go. Let's do it.
All right, fuck yeah.
I need to go right. Grocery shopping.
What city are you in?
L.A.
Oh, word. Okay, me too.
You want to go get them groceries or something, motherfucker?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it quick. Well, that's my real job.
I'll message you to listen to chat.
Yeah, if it's Ian's food, it's definitely some weird fucking holistic Whole Foodsy.
It's not weird. It's healthy.
It is, dude. Bro, you eat some.
I'm with you.
What are vegetables weird?
I'm not saying they
Brussels sprouts are weird.
I'm not saying they are, but
cauliflower is weird.
I had crab cakes. What'd you have for dinner, Ian?
No, I didn't eat dinner yet. I just got off from work.
I forgot lunch. We're on the time difference. Ian, so I've known you since I started doing stand-up comedy. You know how I feel about you. I think you're one of the funniest dudes out there, and I've been wanting to get you on. And so I, like the low-hanging fruit white guy, was like, oh my God, Toots and the Maytals, this would be perfect for Ian. He's from Jamaica. It'll make sense. He probably grew up with the record. And then you were like, nah, player, that was before my time. I was like, fuck, do you want to listen to it and still come on anyway so we can talk shit? So it never got in front of you?
First of all, let me just jump in because I was going to call you out on this, like 100%. When is this going to air?
Wednesday.
In February still, right?
In Feb, yeah.
So not only is it about what you said, but it's Black History Month. And you're like, let me get the Jamaican to do the Toots Mato thing. I don't give a fuck what else he yells or listens to or whatever else I have on my show. It's Black History Month also. So I get a 2-for-1. We get to knock out Toots and the Mato and get the black guy on. Because Josh kept stressing, like, we got to do this by the 22nd. We got to do this by the 22nd. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be some Black History Month. You want to have a black representative for Black History Month. So I was like, I'm definitely bringing this shit up.
Like, I didn't even fucking think about that.
You ain't shit. This is the irony, Black History Month. This is why they have Black History Month. So you stop treating black people like this. But no, not white people. Let's keep doing it. All right. Fuck it, we're here. Right. I agree.
But how did Toots never come into your view, man? Because
it's not that it never came into my view. Like, it's actually like the background music to my childhood, but my parents played it. So and you know, there was always concerts and stuff, but it's like there's stuff that your parents played or you were aware of that you weren't into. You know what I mean? Like they're playing this, but then I'm not old enough to grasp it fully. And then, but you know, I'm into what I was old enough to grasp fully. You know what I mean?
What were you old enough to grasp? I mean, you're saying you're old enough to grasp Toots or like just the other music?
When Toots was playing, I wasn't old enough to grasp it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's just like all the songs, the sound of them and the choruses I recognize. But I didn't, when I was old enough to like my own type of music, I didn't go back and reprocess Toots. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. So then what is it like listening to it now? I mean, did it bring back memories or how do you feel about what I gave you to listen to?
No, it definitely brought back memories and it's a vibe, you know? It's the vibe of and this is even before my time, you know, but I don't know if you ever read Bob Marley's book, Catch Fire. And it's basically you did?
No.
You didn't. It's his autobiography. But when you read it, it's a vibe of the time. And the words are not just telling you a story. You could feel that time. And when I listened to this album, I could feel the time in it. So it encompasses not just the sound, but everything, which lets me know why this album did so well in like the time that it was, because it's basically, I'm listening to like the soundtrack for that time. I'm not just listening to a song or a copycat. I'm hearing, this is what then was about. That's what I'm getting when I listen to it.
So let me ask you a question, because you know, you're talking about this time and about growing up. And I mean, this album was made, you know, I think before you, but like, are some of these songs just in like hearing the lyrics, you're like, holy shit, like I remember that, or I remember like when that happened, or when whatever they're singing about, is there stuff that's like kicking in shit that you experienced while living in Jamaica?
Here's a weird thing about me. I don't hear lyrics. I hear the music. Like I can't repeat. I could try to practice. And if I start listening to the lyrics of a song, two sentences in, two bars in, I get distracted and I'm somewhere else. So
yeah,
I'm into, when I play music in my car, I'm listening to the entire sound. And sometimes I'll like hear a lyric. But even for this, when I was listening to it, I was like, I gave up. I was like, I have ADD when it comes to lyrics for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, me too. Me too. This was my first rodeo with Toots and the Maytals. I've heard of the guy. I've seen him advertised performing for years. I was talking to Morty and JT before you got on, and it's like, you know, reggae, there's like, JT, how did you put it? Like reggae, it's because I think this record,
it's in a good mood.
I think this music is musical Prozac. Like, I'm in Maryland right now, staying at my mom's house. It's 30 degrees out. There's snow. It's horrible. And this record couldn't have come on the list at a better time. Now, the music doesn't match my location, but I'll tell you, it took me there. And it definitely has put me in a way more positive mood. And from this point on, it's like, oh, I'm definitely going to be listening to this record throughout the rest of my life.
Well, don't listen to the lyrics. Not every song, but some of those song lyrics are talking about depressing shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's the Caribbean vibe is giving you like your image of the Caribbean while you're in the cold. So the sun is always fun. But some of the lyrics are probably like, shit is hard.
Yeah, it's definitely. But I mean, I'm much like you. I have ADD too. So I hardly know actual any real lyrics. So I go by phonetic sound. So I'm just doing like gobbledygook. Like, you know, that one song that's like, everybody go lumpy, 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 lumpy all night. I don't even know if those are the words, it's definitely not. But everybody that's listening to this podcast is like, yo, that motherfucker killed the lumpy song. So Morty, why don't you tell us why this record's on the list? Tell us a little bit about Toots and the Maytals.
You got it. Let's break it down. So released in 1975 on Island Records subsidiary Mango Records. It's produced by Chris Blackwell, Warwick Lynn, and Dave Bloxham. It's the first U.S. release by the Jamaican ska rocksteady reggae pioneers. So I'm going to explain really quickly the difference between ska, rocksteady, and reggae. Ska
rocksteady?
Rocksteady.
Rocksteady.
Rocksteady. Okay,
or ska. Ska, because it sounds like the guitar. So ska originated in Jamaica in the late 50s. It combines elements of Caribbean mento and calypso, like Harry Belafonte, Deo, that kind of stuff. Then it added American.
You just wanted
American,
to sing right there.
I had to. That's now it's in my now you got to pay me SAG and AFTRA. So it's American jazz, rhythm and blues. It's characterized by walking bass and accented with rhythms on the offbeat. So ska is like klezmer, upbeats, chink, 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 chink. Okay,
hey,
now
man, canceled,
slow it down.
Bro.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Mo, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
I know, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yo, I was like, Jesus, who knew Ska was so racist?
I just want to say I'm against what he just did now. So when this comes
what did
out,
I do?
Don't see me laughing.
Wait, and what did I do? What did I do?
A true racist. What did I do? What did I do? All right, go ahead. No, nothing.
What's
keep
upbeat?
Going. Nothing. Keep going. Keep
sing the next one. Go ahead, Morty.
Well, jeez. Oh man, now you got me all shy. I know. So by the mid '60s,
good.
By the mid '60s, they slow it down. They add in a few extra rhythms and the bass playing counterpoint. It becomes rock steady. It's a little slower. And if you guys will give me my ghetto card, I don't want to get busted for this one. It slows down. So now instead of the upbeats fast, it's chink, chink, chink. What happened this time?
What do
you know?
Realize,
I've been a singer for 40 years.
Do you realize the noise that you're saying? Yeah.
What? It's what a guitar does. That's why ska sounds like ska, ska.
That's
ska.
Way better. It's ska. Way better.
I'm not. You Wait. Guys think I'm saying a derogatory thing for an Asian person?
No, we don't think you're saying it. It just sounds like you said it repeatedly.
I'm pronouncing it with a J. I'm pronouncing it with a J, like Gina.
Oh, jink. Okay. Jink.
Oh, jink.
Jinka.
Well, yeah, dude, you got to pronounce it.
Accentuate the.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Now I get it.
Yeah, you got to know.
Well, on Asian History Month, you got to give me a pass. Oh, so they God. Slow it down more. The guitars added some strums to it. Bass becomes a little more percussive. It evolves into reggae, which is.
There you go. He didn't want to do that one. Yeah, he was going to do.
The rest
go,
of my life,
jink,
I will never do that
jink,
again
jink.
With my mouth. I won't even smile. I'm going to smile like this.
Oh, my
and
God.
And that's it. And today's artist is the guy that actually named the music reggae. So everybody knows Bob Marley and the Wailers, but somehow Toots and the Maytals always go largely undiscovered by most people. So let's break the band. Frederick Toots Hibbert, Henry Raleigh Gordon, and Nathaniel Jerry Mathias started a ska vocal trio called the Maytals in Kingston, Jamaica in 62, which is the same year the country had its independence from British and about a year before the Wailers. Both groups were signed to Chris Blackwell's Island Records, and the Maytals' early records actually overshadowed the Wailers. They did better than that. So lead vocalist, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Toots Hibbert was often compared to soul powerhouse Otis Redding, who was one of his heroes. So he's a lot more of like a soul guy than Bob Marley was.
Yeah, I could
hear it. He's a powerhouse.
I could hear it in the just the way he just conveyed his lyrics.
If you want to, Ian, and this is to the Fleece Army out there too. If you guys want to see an incredible show, there is a Toots and the Maytals. I think it's Morty. I think it is live at the Roxy.
Sailing on.
And it's like watching, because he kept saying he's the Otis Redding of reggae. It's just as good as Sam Cooke live at the Harlem Club. It is powerful. His voice it doesn't sound like a reggae singer. If you haven't seen it, watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, he was a powerhouse. And so by the early 70s, he has some forced time, which we'll get into later. He takes about 18-month break. The band gets overshadowed by the Wailers a bit. He comes back, and as a tribute to him and for marketing purposes, they change the name of the band to Toots and the Maytals. The vocalists get merged in with the band. The
Let
band
me ask
becomes
you a question.
The Maytals. Yeah.
Were the Wailers still named the Wailers then, or was it Bob Marley and the Wailers?
Chris Blackwell is a marketing genius.
Yeah, Chris is realized involved in that. Everything.
I'll move Bob Marley and the Wailers, and then I'll have Toots and the Maytals, because he realizes who the stars are.
The front
of those
men,
groups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know the Wailers had Peter Tosh
and
Bunny Wailer. They weren't any slouches.
Right.
So by that time, so here's the guys in the band for this record. These are reggae legends forever. Neville Hines on keyboards, Jackie Jackson on bass, Hucks Brown on guitar, or they call pick guitar. Paul Douglas and Winston Grennan on drums. And for this record, they have the Ghanaian horn section, Sons of the Jungle. So then in 72, reggae has this huge international breakthrough when the Jamaican crime film, The Harder They Come, starring Jimmy Cliff, another reggae artist, comes out. So along with other artists, two of the Maytals songs are on this record. And it starts blowing them up. So Chris Blackwell goes, how am I going to break this in America? So he takes several records that have already come out. And especially there was a record, this exact record was released in 72 called Funky Kingston's Same Cover, but he just took the cover. He took three songs, added some from this record, a few from here, one from The Harder They Come, and he put that out in America. It exploded. It caught them on.
Is this a greatest hits record then?
No, because, one song is, but pretty much Chris Blackwell knew what he thought would break them in America. So he's like, this has this cover, that cover, this old song from The Harder They Come is going to be, because everybody already knows this.
Chris Blackwell's like, I'm white. I know what they would like in
oh,
America.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Keep playing that jing-jing stuff. I love that jing-jing.
I was like, here it comes. I'm dead. They're going to punch me at a train stop next.
Listen, this is where my white ear comes into play to make you.
Yeah.
Right now you're making black money. Now I'm going to make you make some white money.
Get that white money.
This is what we'd be into.
And I hope they got broken off. But, you know, they started blowing up in America. They start opening for everybody. They're playing with huge bands in America. And then even in the late 70s, early 80s, when the British punk and skinhead movements, this isn't the racist skinheads. This is the original like suede head. You know, they were very connected because they were broke also. Of going through like the Jamaican experience of people that had less than, they took to this, and the ska and rock steady had a huge resurgence. So the band continues to make records. They won the best reggae album Grammy in 2004, constantly toured.
They were the only album up for it.
Right. They had three albums up.
Best contemporary black music produced by white man goes to
Weird Al Yankovic was this close to winning again.
Oh, shit. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And so in May 2013, Toots gets hit in the head by a vodka bottle on stage.
Oh,
and it's the only time it takes him off the road for a few years. And then August of last year, he puts out his first album in 10 years. It's now nominated for a Grammy.
Oh,
and then 2 weeks later, tragically, due to COVID-19, Toots passed away on September 11th.
COVID got Toots?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. And just recently, you, Roy, just passed away. Another huge.
Yeah, yeah. I just heard that.
Man.
What was the name of the Toots album that just came out?
I didn't keep it because Josh yells at me and whips me. So I just made sure that I made sure I went through. It's called Toots. I hope I don't die in 2 weeks.
Damn.
Jesus Christ.
That's what it is. Yeah. So, and then to date, they've had 13 number one songs in Jamaica. And I think they should be as popular as Bob Marley. And I hope today helps that out.
Got to Be Tough. That's the name of the album.
Got to be tough.
You know, I'm going to go with, you know, in Game of Thrones, Tyrion was like, you got to have a story. And Bran had a story. And so this is probably why Toots is not as big as Bob Marley. Like, getting shot is a way better story than getting hit by a vodka bottle. Like, Bob Marley was shot at a very critical time in Jamaican history. Toots got hit by a vodka bottle. We don't know when.
It was a small one too. It was like an airplane one.
It could have been an airplane one. So, you know, Toots probably deserves it, but you gotta get hit by a vodka bottle at the right time in history. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, Morty, you said something that really made sense is that, listen, I love Bob Marley. I think everybody loves Bob Marley. You have to love Bob Marley. He's iconic. But that being said, I feel like I enjoyed this record more than I've enjoyed Legend. And I know that's a big stretch, but maybe it's just this time in my life. Maybe it's what I'm experiencing here in Maryland. But God damn, was this fucking record perfect.
Maybe it's Black History Month.
Maybe it's Black History Month. Who knows? Let's get into some tracks, all right? Let's get into the first one. So the album opens up with Time Tough. Immediately when this came on, I knew I was going to love it. JT, play 53.
I've got 400 miles left to be, and I can't find a dog. Let me tell you, Time Tough.
Time Tough.
Every day is on the side, it's so hard.
So hard. So hard. So hard.
So this song is about being broke with rent due, and the lyric I pulled, it just like stopped me in my track because, you know, Morty, when did this album come out, or when was this song written?
Oh, this is from a different album. This is from 73.
73. The record 1973. Right. He goes, I got 400 a month rent to pay. And you're just like, Jesus Christ, dude, I'm moving to Jamaica. Like, I don't think you can get like a shoebox in Los Angeles for $400 a month. Like, that just blows my mind. Just when you hear those numbers that are so low, like.
But that sounds a lot for the 70s. That's
I don't think it was dollars.
What are they? Shekels? What's the Jamaican money? The currency?
They have dollars and I think cents. Yeah,
but not. I don't think it's American.
But it's not American. It's not American. It's Jamaica's version.
What did you experience, Ian, when you heard this song, when I told you to listen to it?
Like I said, I wasn't listening to the lyrics. It was just like, I definitely enjoyed it more than I don't even know if it was more than I remember. I was like, oh, this shit is fire. And it brought me back to when I was younger. And, you know, in Jamaica, we didn't always have a lot of money. And it seems like a not typical, but just one of those great tunes that takes you through tough times, and it's relatable to a lot of, like, you know, Jamaican people. And I could see why, you know, this was a hit. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you this. What's the brokest you've ever been?
The brokest I've ever been? Like when I was in Jamaica, like, I had two pair of shoes. My cousins had one. You know what I mean? So they used to walk barefoot.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like I just miss walking barefoot.
How'd you end up with two?
One was for school and you wear in the yard, and the other one was for like church. That's it.
Do you ever wear the church shoes just like to the market? You're like, fuck, dude, these are the.
If I wanted to get my ass whooped, you're not supposed to wear your church shoes and ruin them. You know, before time, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to wear them when you're supposed to wear them.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have a joke that my cousins, the bottom of their feet was so hard. Like, if my cousin stepped on a roach, the roach would be like, hey man, could you put some shoes on, please? Like, your foot is too hard.
Have you ever had, like, as you've gotten here in America, have you ever had like a real shitty landlord? What's the shittiest landlord you ever had?
No, I never really had a shitty landlord, to be honest.
Oh, you're lucky, dude.
Never had a shitty landlord.
I feel like there is one, though. You're like,
there are shitty landlords. I just didn't end up
looking for sure.
Having
good for you.
Having one. Yeah, yeah.
No, good for you. I have a shitty landlord right now.
Your mom.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Bradley. No, well, yeah, my mom. For two more days.
Two more days,
and I'm back in Los Angeles, everybody. All right, the next one's In the Dark. Great song. This is the title track of the album. Most of these songs were taken from, but I want to move on to Funky Kingston. Morty, is there anything you want to tell us about this?
Sure. So Chris Blackwell, once again, doing his entrepreneurial magic of owning Island Records, he says, hey, there's this other band, the Bahamanian proto-disco funk band, the beginning of the end. They have a top 20 dance hit with Funky Nassau, if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
And he says, why don't you guys have a song? They put Nassau on the map. You put Kingston on the map. Do something called Funky Kingston. And so they just went, all right. And they made it. They named it the name of the album in 72. And that's how we end up with this. This is the bomb. This song.
But and Funky Kingston is actually apt because this is the funkiest shit on the record. JT, play 208, bro.
Watch me now. You watch me now. All right. Going from east to west now. I just went from north to south. All over America. People keep on listening to me. My Funky Kingston. But I ain't got none. So I'm taking away from me. You gotta go on a
funky, but I do. Funky doo-dop-a-dee.
I fucking love that song. And that was one of the songs from the concert at the Roxy that it's just like you're watching it and you're like, I mean, this isn't any reggae I've ever heard in my life. This is so funky, man. So funky. Thoughts on this, Ian?
It's just live. You know what I mean? Like you feel it. And like the performance is in his voice. And it sounds like an instrument along with the rest of the instruments. And it just gives you, you know, it's a song about pride, which Jamaican people are very proud of, like where they're from. So this would resonate with everybody. And everybody, like Kingston was a legend when I was growing up. Like Kingston's like, it's not a place, it's the city, it's the capital. And a lot of people live in the country. So this would paint the picture of Kingston to people who's never been there and to people who have been there, you know? So, but I would assume the majority of people, Jamaican people at the time, had never been to Kingston. So most Jamaican people probably at the time, probably lived their whole life and never been to Kingston. You know, that's completely possible. You stay in the countryside or you maybe go there once, but that, you know, that a song would take them there.
So what is it like there then? Is it just like, why is it this like,
you got to think this is a long time ago, right?
Sure.
So it's like the Kingston I saw was close to this, but still not this, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Of the, what he's talking about, it's just, you know, it's hustle, it's bustle, it's people selling stuff in the market, trying to make some money, people trying to survive. It's probably where all the jobs were. So people lived there. You know, I don't know if like, you know, some people were working in people's households to make money, like richer people there. It's a tough call, but just based on like cities in America, like a lot of people move to the cities for jobs or to make it in whatever thing they're trying to make it in. And I'm assuming Kingston was like that. And city's always full of hustlers and the most outgoing, hardest driven people and, you know, the most creative people. And I feel like that's what he was just trying to drive home about that. And that's where all the most of the technology and civilization is at the time too, and the government and all that. So it's a combination of the poorest people, the richest people, the middle people, and everybody trying to make it. And people trying to survive the high prices of the time, but the beauty of it, you know?
Hello out there!
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to Nimbo the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
This is Chris DeMakes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Chris DeMakes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Chris DeMakes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
And that's a perfect segue for what I wanted to ask you, because so you're born in England, you're raised in Jamaica, and then you moved to New York as a teenager. And, you know, for everything that you just said about Kingston is almost what could be said about New York. I wanted to ask you, because we've never talked about it. Like how long did it take you to get into the New York groove?
I can't put a time on it. You know what I mean? But it was definitely... I can't put a time on it. Like, you have, like, growing up in Jamaica or England, you have snippets of what New York is like, because American TV shows and music are broadcast all over the world. So you have, like, basically, when you're watching stuff, whether you're aware of it or not, you're getting a type of a orientation by watching American movies and TV shows. And then you come here and then you see what it's really like compared to what you know. But at least what you saw gave you some familiarity with what the deal was. So it's not 100% shock. It's just 92% shock. And then you just, you know, some people jump in and try to immerse themselves, and some people have resistance, and some people, it's just like modern technology. How do you feel about the apps? Are you on Clubhouse, or are you resistant to Clubhouse?
I'm resistant to Clubhouse. Like, fuck Clubhouse.
Fuck that. I'm going to stay on Instagram. That's just life when you come here. It's like, am I going to try everything, or MySpace is good? I'm good with MySpace. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an individual thing.
Yeah.
I think I was open because I wanted to get my life going.
Yeah. Did you know that you wanted to do comedy at a young age?
No.
That was kind of like, you had no idea.
Also, doing comedy made me more open, because especially when I was doing like black rooms a lot, like my fellow black comics could use references that I weren't aware of, and the crowd would be like, it'll resonate with the crowd, and they get, so I'm like, all right, so I'm not up to speed with American black culture. I'm up to speed with like my, you know, Jamaican black culture, but not American. So it's like, then I had to like read more and learn more shit, you know, and catch up so that I could communicate.
No, for sure. For sure. All right. Love Is Gonna Let You Down. People were talking about how he sounds like Otis Redding. I think this song really showcases that, and it has one of my favorite moments on the entire record. JT, play 109, bruh. This is such a great song. This is why I love this record, because it's like, you know, and we still haven't gotten to something like the next one I want to talk about is just, it's such a fun song, but this is such a beautiful song. Speaking of that, Ian, because I know you like hip hop. Do you enjoy a good love song?
Yeah. Like LL Cool J, I Need Love. One of the best songs, period. And then there's a Force MDs has some shit. You're like, oh shit, this hits just as hard as an R&B joint. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I definitely felt this one.
You did?
Even in this little clip that you're playing through your microphone into my Zoom, that's like, that shit is like, I got hair standing up.
Dude, don't pull the curtain back. Don't pull the curtain back on our janky fucking setup right now.
I think people can see it. There's a video. This video is good.
It's going to be perfectly edited, dude. It's going to be perfectly edited when this shit is released. Keep it real.
Keep it real,
bro. Keep the curtain back. All right, next song, Louie Louie. We got a cover. This is one of the most famous songs in the history of music. And the intro, in my opinion, is fucking everything. JT, play it. And then it just goes into this. Dude, it never goes back to that funky ass intro. Dude, play the intro one more time, JT, because I fucking love it that much. Gang, 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 jing, 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 jing. 40, tell us all about the jing, jing.
I'm crushed. All right, so the Kingsmen have the biggest hit with this, as everybody knows. It's originally from 1955. American R&B and soul musician Richard Berry took the Latin rhythm riff from the song El Loco Cha-Cha, and then he added lyrics about a Jamaican sailor coming home. It's a first-person tale of a Jamaican sailor coming home to his love. The 1963 version by the Kingsmen, though, is so famous because nobody could make out what the dude was singing. And everybody, you know, because they didn't have a lot going on, figured he was singing dirty stuff. So that made everybody excited in 63. The FBI even did an investigation of the song because they thought they were singing crude lyrics. They took it off the radio. And that's why every garage band played this song, because you could make it anything you wanted it to be. And they thought it was filthy. And that is probably one of the most famous songs in rock and roll history, is about a Jamaican sailor coming home to his love.
Is this top 10 most garage band songs in the world? Do you know what I mean? Like, is this, I feel like this is a song that everybody in a band, maybe not now, but fucking the 70s and 80s, covered this song, because this might be one of the easiest songs to play. Am I right?
Yeah. It's like, I think it's 1, 4, 5. It's bum, 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 bum. That's the whole song. And it's, you know, at its core, it's a beautiful, it's like kind of a sea shanty. Louis, I mean, you know, Toots does it the way it should be done, you know, and it's beautiful lyrics about coming home to your love. But, you know, hey, you can't knock. What else do they have going on in 63? Kennedy getting killed in this.
Hilarious. When you say he does it the way it should be done, what do you mean?
It's a Jamaican singing about a Jamaican song in first person. You know what I mean? It's as true to what the nature of the actual song is. My little girl waits for me. I come to her across the sea. You know, it's a song of longing to get home. And I mean, he does it like a R&B tune, gives it gravitas. Mm-hmm. But at its core, I like the fact that it's somebody singing about real. You know, it's a Jamaican singing about a Jamaican, you know, a Jamaican
scenario.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Ian, you've heard both versions, I assume. You've heard the Kingsmen, and you've now heard fucking Toots. Who's
Jamaican,
better?
The Jamaican one, Toots.
Fuck yeah. Now
there was no way.
Question,
there was no way I was going to.
Go. Not a Black History Month. Fuck no, you can't do that. All right, then the follow-up question is, what's your favorite cuss word?
What's my favorite cuss word?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably not even Jamaican, like fuck, you know.
Where is fuck from? Is it British?
Yeah, I think so. Like for unknown carnal knowledge. I thought it was
unlawful carnal knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they say that's bullshit.
That's like bullshit.
Yeah. It sounds like it. It's onomatopoeia. It sounds like when you're doing it. What does it sound like? Fuck. There you go.
All right. Moving on to Pomps and Pride. This is the one that I love the most. JT, play Lumpy Lumpy.
Everybody just come down.
So this follows the Rastafarian ethos of not taking oneself too seriously, staying positive, enjoying life, and not being concerned with social status because we're all the same. That's beautiful. All right. Got to be there. This is about showing up to Kingdom Come on Judgment Day. Another great song. I want to get to the one that just, moves me. And that's Country Road. I think this is one of the best songs on the record. And I think this song is what puts this album on the 500 greatest albums list.
They remade this, right? Who did this?
John Denver did this in 1971.
Okay.
He put this out. This was on In the Dark, also one of those albums. Chris Blackwell, once again, knew that this would break them in America because it had just recently been a popular hit. They're actually, Ray Charles did the version. The version that Toots is doing is closer to Ray Charles' version than John Denver's. Shocker to anybody. Mm-hmm. And he changed some of the lyrics, obviously, about West Jamaica rather than West Virginia.
Yeah.
But, he made it his own. And you can't listen to this song and really listen to that song and compare them anymore.
This, though, is what got me to think this record is perfect. I do love that they changed the lyrics to fit Jamaica. And plus just the high notes that the guy hits in the chorus, it just warms my cold, broken Maryland heart. Play the clip, JT. What's dope is that they closed that concert with this, and it's a far longer version, and it's just perfect, man. Thoughts on this, Ian?
Well, what he did was, I've been to Jamaican churches where they have bands and music, so he kind of churched it up with a Jamaican church vibe, so that everybody, whether you still go to church or you don't back then, that this would have resonated with them. It sounds like, one of those revival songs that they, play at, those revivals where people are getting baptized and church goes late into the night. And even if you live in the neighborhood, you can hear it blaring out over the speakers and bleeding into your life. And so it just has that. Yeah.
Which church is wilder, a Black Jamaican church or a Black American church?
I don't know if wilder is the term.
Okay, well, maybe the proper choice of adjective, but who's partying more? Let's say that. Who's partying more?
I mean, they're both partying the same because it's the same theory on celebrating God, but it's just a different sound and accent. Feel me? So it's like.
Yeah. No, I know exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of Jamaica, what do you miss most about Jamaica?
Probably food, like some authentic Jamaican food. There's some good restaurants in LA where you can get close to that. But there's nothing even now my friend sends me videos of people making stuff and you're like, oh shit. And I try to replicate some of it, but the food and, people, and just last time I went was 5 years ago, but I, for the first time I went to a resort and it was a family reunion. So it was mad cool, but we went outside the resort and Jamaica's still Jamaica, man.
I've never been to Jamaica, but it's I've either heard it's one of the most beautiful places in the world or you might get mugged.
Yeah. You got the good parts and the bad parts, but that's just everywhere. You can enjoy yourself in a beautiful part of Brooklyn, or you can get stuck up in a part of Brooklyn, or just anywhere.
You can stay on Main, or you can stay on the Cecil Hotel. Both are equally. I got mugged behind the Cecil Hotel, so Los Angeles is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
All right, Pressure Drop. Morty, go ahead and tell us about Pressure Drop.
This is from 69, so this predates even, this
our
is right when
year.
He's calling it reggae. Yeah, there you go. It's that is this was on the soundtrack to The Harder They Come. You want to jump with that one? Okay. That was that introduced reggae outside of Jamaica.
No wonder the harder they come came out in 69. Yeah. I get it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes complete sense.
It would have been easier if he took the joint out of his mouth. So yeah, so Toots described this about karmic justice by saying, this is his quote. It's a song about revenge, but in the form of karma. If you do bad things to innocent people, bad things will happen to you. The title was a phrase I used to say. If someone done me wrong, rather than fight them like a warrior, I'd say the pressure going to drop on you.
Ooh.
And then this has been covered by everybody. The Specials, The Clash, You Love from Guns N' Roses, Izzy Stradlin and his solo band. And then Keith Richards. This is a classic reggae rock steady song.
And it sounds perfect for a Corona commercial. Play it. And by Corona, I mean the beer, not the virus. You gotta be specific about this. You like this one, Ian?
Yeah, I love it. I love all of them. Like, I gotta go to the supermarket after this, and while I'm in the social distancing line, I'll be listening to this entire album again. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. So, fuck yeah. Yeah. This is why I knew, even though it was low hanging fruit. In Black History Month.
Definitely is. It definitely is.
100%. The lowest of the hanging is fruit. But man, oh man, I knew you'd fucking like it, dude. I don't want you to be encouraged to keep
reaching for low hanging fruit.
No bullshit though, Ian. Like we've done that before. Like when we had MIA on the pod, we were doing her album Kala, and we were like, our bookers were like, we should get Hasan Minhaj. And then we asked him, and he was like, I've never listened to her. And we're like,
hilarious.
Is it Indian American History Month too? It is. Fuck. All right. The album closer is Sailing On. I think this is the most perfect way to end the record. Play it. While I'm lingering on. If you don't smile listening to this song, you are dead inside. So my question for you, Ian, did you smile listening to this, or are you dead inside?
No, I was just too busy vibing to smile. And also, again, this is very churchy. You know, this is a very churchy approach. So he hit it with that. That's going to resonate with everybody. And man, the Ray Charles in his voice, like you can hear the Ray Charles influence like 1,000% on this one, like for real, for real.
Morty, how big was Ray Charles during, I mean, I know he was big, but is it just like he's massive?
Oh, Ray Charles is, I mean, not to take him out of context as a black artist, even, he was as popular across the board as anybody from the 60s. Through the 70s, I mean, this is, you know, still early 70s. And he's, I mean, huge artist. You know, he straddles the line right pre-civil rights even. So like, you know, and you know, has really was all remained. He never had to have a comeback. He was just always ubiquitously probably like the grand statesman of that kind of music. And you could see he did covers of music that were outside of what you would normally have considered like a singer at the time. You know, Dinah Shore wasn't doing country. You know, he was like, I'll do Country Roads. I'll do a Willie Nelson song. I'll do a Julio Iglesias song. I'll do a Beatles song. I'll do Monkees. Whatever you want, I can kill it. And people were happy to have him cover their music. So he was as big, you know, as an artist and should be remembered that way as probably one of the most important artists of all time.
Sure. And he was, a blind heroin addict. I think he deserves kudos for that as well. I mean, to be able to hit the vein when you can't see your fucking arm.
He just brailed his vein. He just brailed his vein, bro.
All right, Ian, you want to do some facts and we'll get you out of here?
All right, let's go.
All right, first fact. In 1966, the band took a break while Toots spent 18 months in jail for marijuana possession despite claiming his innocence. He later wrote the experience in the hit song 5446, That's My Number. So that's why he was gone for 18 months.
That was his nice little 18-month break that let Bob Marley take over.
So are we saying that if he doesn't go to jail for those 18 months, Toots is up there with, like, Legend and Funky Kingston are equal amount of sales, in a sense?
I mean, Legend's a greatest hits album, but yeah, I mean, Chris Blackwell was riding this train, man. He was pushing these artists. There's a distinct possibility it could have been Toots blowing up at the same rate, because his records are doing better than the Wailers records when they were coming out.
Was it really? So that's when Bob Marley took over prominence in reggae?
Well, I mean, they were both coming up in Jamaica. I mean, they hadn't broken in America, but, you know, an 18-month break of putting out hits and then basically disappearing off the charts for a good year and change, that has people kind of going, all right, well, I'm not waiting around.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
But I also feel like music lasted longer back then. Like 18 months disappearance, people are still playing your records because they don't have access like we have now to other music as much. Or it's like,
yeah, they didn't Spotify music, something else. Yeah.
You can't just Spotify some other shit. Like, this is it. Yeah, you're playing
But think about this, Ian. 18 months in the career of the Beatles, they've already changed hairstyles 5 times, probably. So I mean, music. Am I wrong, Morty? Like, music's moving
absolutely
fast at that time. So
maybe.
Yeah. So actually, 18 months. Maybe some people that are like, I got 3. Or actually, how much is a record back then? I got 35 cents for this album, and that's the only one I could buy for the next 18 months. I guess it's me and you. Toots and the Maytals, and then that's it.
I mean, all this really tells me is that none of the other Maytals were anything close to the Wailers. Because if Bob Marley was in jail for 18 months, the individuals from the Wailers would have went off and put out albums. Like, there is no individual Maytals. They're like, we got to wait for Toots to come back.
Well, he was the songwriter and founder of the band, and the guy still worked. Remember, the band still played on everybody's records.
Right, but I'm
saying
they
just didn't put out.
They didn't have their own, but with the Wailers, individually, they wrote their own songs and put them out and then came back, you know what I mean, and sang with Bob and then went off, you know. So you could tell, you know, the Wailers was most likely more talented overall than the Maytals. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. All right,
well, I'll take your word for it. I don't want to fight about this.
No.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I completely agree. My question to you is, what's your worst experience with the law?
What's my worst experience with the law?
Yeah.
Just getting pulled over for, like, bullshit. And luckily, you know, things being searched, you know, for no reason. But, you know, you're just naive. You just let them search you. And then now I look back and like, you know, like, I'm normally not the other day, I went to meet Doc at Kitchen 24. So this is like 6 years ago. So we drive there separately. Doc's waiting for me. He texts me that he's there, and I park in Hollywood. And as I'm walking down the street, cop car pulls up, right? Doors fly open and they jump out. I'm like, they didn't even put the motherfucker in park. And they yelling. You know what I mean? I'm like, they can't be talking to me. I'm just walking down the street. But they are talking to me. And they're yelling. And I'm like, all right, so what did I do? And they're like, you jaywalked back there. And the thing is, I just deal with them the way I deal with, like, if I'm doing comedy in, like, a loud bar. Like, and when you're doing comedy in a loud bar, the crowd is talking to each other. So back in the day when I was less experienced, I used to try to yell over there talking, and then they would try to talk over my voice so they can hear it themselves talking.
But yeah,
when you speak low, they can hear themselves talking, and then they quiet themselves, and then they can hear you. So I just talked to cops the same way. Like, they were yelling, and I was like, so what's going on? And it was like, you jaywalk back there. I was like, oh, word, my bad. And then they just could hear how ridiculous they sounded compared to me, and they lowered their tone. And then they wrote up a ticket and gave it to me. I said, well, let me read this first before I sign it. And they're like, you're taking too long. And then I'm still calm and I'm reading it. And this other drunk guy walked by and he banged on the metal gate of one of those buildings. And they grabbed this motherfucker and threw him in the back of the same police car that they were in. I'm like, oh, if I was amped like this guy, or just was like, I'd be in the back. So that was like the measuring stick, or the litmus test to tell you what they was on or what their mode was. And it's just because I was just like, you know, my normal tone is like, it's just what's it called? Mono what?
Monotone?
Monotone. I'm just normally monotone. So it didn't give them anything. But that drunk guy, he went to the police station at night for nothing. You could bang on something in the middle of Hollywood in the middle of the night. What is that doing? What crime is that?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip podcast.
It was funny that you said the thing about the bar shows. One of my favorite, actually, it might have been one of the first times I ever saw you perform, was at the Comedy Store on July 4th, 2008. And like, I don't know if you remember this set, like Tripoli was on stage. There were three people in the audience. One of them was an old white dude that was hammer drunk. And this is when the Comedy Store was like doing really bad. So, I mean, this is like a Thursday or Friday night and it's empty. And Tripoli's in an argument with the old drunk guy. And then you had to go up. And they're still arguing and you're still doing your set. I always remember this because you ended the set by going, this joke normally will get me big laughs and give me a big enough laugh to leave the stage. But, you know, we'll see how it goes here. And it was just so perfect considering the situation that you were in. And you killed, dude. You fucking killed. You remember that?
Oh, thanks. Nah, I don't. I probably blocked that out.
Blocked it
memory.
Out.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right. Moving on. In 1968, the group released another song written by Toots called Do the Reggae, which was based on the term ragamuffin for someone who was dressed raggedly. It was the first song to use the word that named the genre. So what does that mean? That was the first term of ragamuffin?
He's the guy.
Of reggae ever?
He used the word reggae. And for the first time, it was in a song, and that became the name of the genre of music that we use today. He's the dude. I mean, he probably didn't come up with the word. It was probably some, you know, bastardization of ragamuffin, ragam, you know, that became that. But you have Toots to thank for when you say reggae today, he's the cat you have to thank for it.
Yeah. Thank you, Toots.
Then he went to jail.
then he went to jail. All right. Yeah. On April 4th, 2004, they appeared as a musical guest on SNL, another show that you wrote for. And the host, when Toots was the musical guest, was Donald Trump. you worked on SNL. Do you have any memorable moments while working on it?
Yeah, I was a guest writer. So I was there to try to produce some sketches for Tracy Morgan. So you're there for like a few weeks. And so they have to give you an office. And first they gave me this office and it was nice. It was dope. And then I think some writer, maybe, I don't know if it was Daryl Hammond or somebody came in there and it's like, that's my office or some shit. So then they say, all right, we're going to take you to this other office. And it was basically a closet. It was me and an editor in there. Like that edited the show on a flatbed. So I got to write while this motherfucker's snipping shit. So, but yeah, it was fun. It's good to be on SNL.
Yeah, dude, that's a credit you take with you forever. That's
and the table reads. The table reads were like anybody. That's what if you performed your sketch at the table read, like went all in, almost as if you're shooting a sketch, you would get that shit on. So I also saw that like Will Ferrell and people like that, like kill it. And I was like, oh shit.
On September 29th of 1980, they recorded, pressed, and distributed their latest album, Toots Live, to record stores within 24 hours in an attempt to get in the Guinness Book of World Records for fastest album release. They failed because nobody at the record company let Guinness know. That is fucking ridiculous. So wait, so Morty, you know any more about this?
No, they just, you know, I'm sure probably Chris Blackwell standing on his little circus thing was like, here's what we're doing next. You're going to make a record in 24 hours and put it out in a record store, and it's going to get a Guinness record. And somebody should probably have told Guinness that that was what they were going for.
This was so secretive, they didn't even tell Morty about this.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows everything about this.
Yeah. It's a drag, man. I was in jail for 18 months.
How many things, I mean, you know, like, could be in the Guinness Book of World Records? It's just nobody's there to just, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
To like, record it. It's like how hard is it to get something in the Guinness Book of World Records? Like, there's like the most stupid shit in the world. It's like, all right, the most vapes in a minute. Ready? We're going to do it right now on the 500, everybody. The most vape clouds.
Josh, you probably have that record and you don't even know. You never timed it.
That's what I'm saying. All right. As a testament to their crossover appeal, Toots and the Maytals toured and played shows with artists like The Who, The Eagles, The Rolling Stones, Jackson Brown, Linda Ronstadt, and Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah, that's incredible. And it's just one of those things where it's like you see them playing at these like a 930 club, these smaller clubs, and you forget that they're loved by so many huge artists. So the question I wanted to ask you was, what was the greatest lineup you were ever a part of, or the greatest gig? We can take both. What's easier, the greatest gig you ever played or the greatest lineup?
I mean, there's been a lot. So I'll just say the most recent one. So Chappelle, Rogan, Darnell. Damn, why am I blanking on Shorty's name? We did
Will Sylvan. Michelle Wolf.
No, nah, not Michelle Wolf. This was before. She just
Ali Bukowski.
Ali was there too. Yeah, Ali, I think, was there too, or it was she just had an accident, like, and hit her head.
Oh, Ashley Barnhill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did Tacoma. And we did something else in Seattle, and I forgot where the other show. Oh, Utah, and it was like just huge ass shows. And it's just.
Were you talking like 20,000 people?
Well, we played the Tacoma Dome, and then we played a outside spot in Utah. Like, and this is before Corona, so like when an outside amphitheater, and so it's just like. Some great shows.
Dude, that's incredible, man. Have you gone out to or thought about going out to Austin to rock with them?
Yeah, I'm going to go out there and then check it out a little bit. I've always, you know, wanted to get a spot in Austin years before this. Like, just from every year, I make sure I try to go to South by Southwest or just some type of festival in Austin. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, I could see me getting a place here or moving here in the future, or just it's just Austin's just, you know, when you're just feeling it, a place when you get there and you're like, oh, I could, you know, my soul could be happy here. That 100%, Austin got that vibe.
Austin 100% has that vibe. I'm there almost every year for Moon Tower, and I was just there doing shows with Big J, and not only is it open, and we were hanging out with Will Sylvans and Cypha, and we tried to go to the Chappelle thing, but you got to get tested earlier in the day. How do you feel? I mean, because we're talking about it, how do you feel about everybody making the mass exodus to Austin?
I don't. It's fine, you know. Like, you're going to Austin, you're going to a great place, and I don't think I'm gonna move there, but I'm open to anything. And then, you know, I think Hollywood is gonna pick back up, so you know, there's advantages to seize. You know, while everybody's gone, and then maybe there's an advantage to being there. Well, like, this world is just so up and down. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm going back to Los Angeles, you know, on Thursday, and I'm just like, why am I going back? Like, I don't feel like it's even open right now.
To get out of your mom's place.
Exactly. Back moving to my
That's 100%. That's 100%.
So you can stop sneaking girls in.
Dude, I fucking wish I've been on the apps. There is nothing out here, dude. Every girl on the apps has weird, stringy, like crunchy hair, and they got like a titty tat of like a spider. And that's like the ones I'm swiping right on, you know? So I don't know what to, it's bad, dude. It's bad. Except unless you go to the gym, you go to Pure Fitness. There's a lot of girls from Salisbury there, but I don't want to hit on girls at the gym because that's their time. And I don't want to be the creepy 41-year-old guy hitting on a girl at the gym. Mm-hmm. Am I right or wrong for doing that?
I don't know. Like, depends on the girl.
I'm going to take that silence as I'm the creepy 41-year-old guy. All right, last fact. According to Toots, Maytals is a reference to the Rastafari term for do the right thing. I did not know that. So Spike Lee could have made the movie Maytals, and that could have been it. Basically.
So say that again, Rastafari.
According to Toots, Maytals is a reference to the Rastafari term for do the right thing.
Rastafari is the Rastafarian term for the
Maytals.
For some reason, it's
Maytals. Mm-hmm. Maytals is a reference.
Oh, Maytals. Oh, okay.
Maytals.
Oh, I never heard that before. Okay.
So how do you use that? So you just be like, you know, dude, you better fucking Maytal that shit tonight.
That's not some shit we used to say growing up. So we listened to Toots and the Maytals, but nobody was using that term in a sentence.
How do we use it in a sentence? Reference.
Don't ask me.
I think it might be like, you know how colloquialisms come about. It might be like Maytal, you know, Maytel or Maytal, that it becomes Toots. You know, Toots is saying this also, so he's giving you, this might be apocryphal, right, to build his brand. This might be like, what does that mean? Do the right thing. It could have been him and his homies kicking it and just were like, I got it. We'll call it the Maytals.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but when I was growing up, that was never a term.
It says, the Urban Dictionary says that it means good things, pure and good. Maytal.
Maybe that's what it means, but I don't think it was anybody used something it. People were saying. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. All right, let's do some rapid fire and get you out of here, Ian. All right. Mm-hmm. Favorite song on the record?
Oh, I got to go back and look. Shit, I don't remember the name of it, but the one that I said, it was a love song, right? You asked me if I like love songs.
Love is gonna let me down.
Yeah.
Love is gonna let me down. All right, mm-hmm. get the album in front of you, Ian. Least favorite song on the record.
That's tough because I liked most of them. I would say Country Road or Sailing.
Really?
Yeah.
And those are two of my favorites. All right. Okay. All right. What song?
Because church haunted me as a kid. Like, I didn't want to go to church, and Sunday was just such a churchy day. And I was like, I just wanted the church to be over. So it's nothing to do with the music itself. It just has something to what it represents. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Imagine you leave church and you're home. You're in your yard, and you could hear other people's church still going. You're like, God damn, church, you followed me home.
Yeah, it's like when I hear that song, when I hear most songs from the 80s, like, you know, Steppin' Out by, who's the guy, who does Steppin' Out? Like, doo, 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 doo. It just reminds me, there's something about it that just makes me think of when I used to be on cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I love this song, but I'm like, oh, God damn. It's like, anybody got a bump? Jesus. Like, it's just, I get like irritable. So I get that. I get that about the church thing. All right. What song on this record would you fuck to?
I mean, the whole album except...
Yeah,
the whole album, pretty much. I mean, you asked me what's my least favorite. Doesn't mean I wouldn't fuck to them.
No, perfect answer. All right, and does this record deserve to be on the 500 Greatest Albums list?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's fire, man. Like I said, I wasn't bullshit when I say You know, when I get off, I'm going to go to the supermarket. While I'm on the social distancing line, I'm going to be listening to it. I'm going to listen to it while I'm going through the aisles. And, you know, I might pause it when I'm talking to the cashier. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I would definitely be playing it, bumping
yeah,
the shit.
This, I agree with what you're saying, man. If to all the Fleece Army out there, man, put this on while you're doing shit, and it's going to put a little bit of pep in your step, because this album is just musical Prozac, and mm-hmm. I love it. I'm glad this came up. I needed this record. I think we all did. Ian, promote away. Anything you want to promote?
Just follow me on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic, Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic, and you know, that's where I do my shows. You'll see in the stories or whatever I post about any shows I got.
Yeah, and also yeah. Everybody watch his special. It's incredible, dude.
Oh, thanks, man.
Ian talks. You should have had it years ago, man. It's like I love you get your shine. You're one of my favorite comics. I think you're one of the best joke writers in the game, dude. And I can't thank you enough for coming on today. And I can't thank you enough for talking toots in Black History Month.
Morty, thanks for the facts and the breakdown. And JT, good looking out for technically hooking it all up, you know.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you? The one and only Ian Edwards. Follow Ian on all social media at Ian Edwards Comic. And for all things Ian Edwards, go to his website, ianedwardscomedian.com. Now, we just listened to Toots and the Maytals from 1973. Our new music pick this week is Coffee. And you're listening to a remix of the song Pressure featuring Buju Banton that came out last year through Columbia Records. Coffee is a reggae singer, songwriter, rapper, DJ, and guitarist from Spanish Town, Jamaica, and her 2019 EP Rapture won the Grammy Award for Best Reggae Album, making Coffee the youngest person and only woman to be awarded in the Best Reggae Album category. And you can find links to the music on our website, the500podcast.com. That's where we got everything, guys. So we got Morty's longer intros, we got all the facts, we got all the music, everything. And if you were in a band and were directly influenced by one of these albums or artists and you want your music featured on the 500, send your song to 500podcast@gmail.com and make sure you put the album and artist that influenced you in the subject line. Next week is TLC week as we go deep into their 1994 record, Crazy Sexy Cool. Ooh, do your homework. Listen to the record. Stay fleecy. Doodle doodle.
Tell them so we can't take no more. Under the pressure, yeah, under the pressure. If your voice will be taken when you're rich, it's not sick of how we all under pressure, my friend. Sometimes when you feel it, you cry down.
Worldwide.
I hate your heart, you know, but you do not make it stress, because it's happy be better, not be living at the ghetto, be under the pressure, my friend.
It's real.
Yeah. Lord have mercy, this can't get no worse, if we call it a curse on me, heart it a hurt me. Call it thirsty, because from the birth of the first me, I feel like the father deserts me. But when the pressure erupts, me never give up, no, me never give in. I mean, I send up a prayer for the better living. I can't bust, so I better be sick. And so under the pressure, yeah, under the pressure. If your poor job is taken when you're rich, it's not sick, cause we all under pressure, my friend. Sometimes when you feel it, you cry down. I hurt your heart, you know, but do not make it stress, cause it's happy be better, not be living at the ghetto, to be under the pressure, my friend. It's serious. A lot of times I find it serious. Life is a little mysterious. Half we put and we can't even steer it up, oh no. I can't wait for morning come. Oh gosh, the night too long. Oh gosh, the fight too long. I can't wait to see the sun. Under the pressure, yeah, under the pressure. Under the pressure, if your poor job is taken when you're rich, it's not sick, cause we all under pressure, my friend. Sometimes when you feel it, you cry down. I hurt your heart, you know, but you do not make it stress, cause it's happy be better, not be living at the ghetto, feel it under the pressure, my friend.
Yes, the pressure is real and the world I feel, yet we not give up. Over
flowing up with cup and the system corrupt. Look how hard some are work and it's still not enough. Oh no, lock down the world, no nobody now walk. I know food on the house while the bills pile up. When you listen politician, you say wait a second. Do they feel the same as you and I do?
Under the pressure, yeah, under the pressure, under the pressure. It's your watch up and take away now. We cheat in a second, car, we all under pressure, my friend. Sometimes when you feel it, you try it on. Hurt your heart, you know, but you no make it better, cause it's happy be better, not be living and you get up, you be under the pressure, my friend.
Keeping it fleecy for the Fleece Nation on the 500.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street Podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next Chapter Podcasts.